Now, politicians with extreme views tend to get more attention from the media. That's according to research examining more than 46,000 news transcripts. It showed that politicians on both the far left and right get more airtime than their moderate counterparts. Might be good for ratings and for politicians seeking national attention. Who's it not good for? Maybe American democracy, according to our next guest. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think politics is less polarized than the news portrays? How do you think networks should change the way they cover politics? Do you see that as something that's likely to happen? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Joshua Dar is an assistant professor of political communication at Louisiana State University. He's the co-author of the study we're talking about. Joshua, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I gave a very Cliff's Notes version of your study there. Tell us what you set out to find and how you tried to do it.
Sure. So we set out to study whether the Congress that appears on TV is the same as the Congress that appears in the chamber in terms of ideology. It's obviously a goal of the news to accurately reflect the political world, but the news has some other goals as well of being exciting, being entertaining, covering conflict. And so what we found was that the distribution of members that were featured on television in these transcripts, whether that was live on TV or by the media playing clips of them talking, was quite a bit significantly more extreme than the actual ideological distribution of the chamber. So essentially that Congress, is, as it appears on TV, is a bit more extreme than it actually is. And that's the one that people are seeing, and that's how people are experiencing it.
And what was the media world you were using transcripts from?
So it was television news, so we'll spare radio for now. It was broadcast news and cable news, so the three network news, nightly network news, and CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News.
And talk about how you defined ideologically extreme.
Sure. So we were using a measure, a very commonly used measure called DW Nominate, that sort of measures ideology based on roll call votes. So we were just taking people at the tail ends of those distributions, the most extreme on either side. We divided them up into five categories, and it turned out that the people in the most extreme categories were getting significantly more speaking opportunities than their moderate counterparts.
And did it balance out pretty well? The people on the far right and far left both showed up, or was there some variation there?
Both extremes were overrepresented, and there was some variation between networks. If anything, I would say the far right was overrepresented a bit compared to the far left. But in general, the analyses show just that the extremes were overrepresented.
So what does that do? If I'm the ordinary citizen watching at home, how does that skew my perception potentially of what happens in Congress and what Congress is there for?
Well, you're seeing the people that are trying to get attention by being further out, that are, you know, that maybe the representatives of the parties that you're seeing don't really represent what the median representative might be trying to do in that party. And so you're going to think the parties are further apart, and news coverage of polarization tends to polarize people who listen to it. And so if that makes me wonder, you know, about talking about polarization in the media, because if people hear about division, if people hear about the distance between the parties, and especially if that distance is exaggerated, then they're going to think that politics is full of conflict and distance themselves even further from the other side.
All right. Now let's turn me from the person watching TV and elect me to Congress. Don't actually elect me to Congress, but supposing you did and I'm there. How does this change my incentive structure for how I behave and vote?
So communications has become the currency of Congress in a lot of ways. People no longer are getting ahead by slogging through the committee system in the way they used to, by attracting local media attention through bringing money and programs back to their districts. Rather, the national media environment seems to be a shortcut for members of Congress to become more prominent, maybe move on to other offices, but at least raise more money, at the very least, from a national donor base. So if you're a new member of Congress and, you know, you're staring at either years of obscurity in the committee system or making a splash now through some extreme statements, you might be tempted to go with the latter.
And as you and your colleagues write up in your analysis of this, my incentive as that member of Congress is maybe going to be not to worry so much about writing legislation and trying to get bills passed as it is to, again, that communications effort and getting attention on the national stage so I can get those sweet donations for people across the country.
No, that's right. It's more comms than policy, as freshman Rep. Madison Cawthorn put it to the media. It's the notion that it matters how you talk about what you're doing more than what you're doing, and part of that has to do with the decline of local news. If you were writing legislation, particularly things that benefited your district, you could count on that being covered in the local news. If you can't count on that, then you have to cater to the news values of the national media, and that's where we get into this rewarding extremism dynamic that we observe.
We're talking to Joshua Dar, political scientist at Louisiana State University, looking at research that he co-authored showing that if you're in Congress, you get a lot more attention from the national media, in this case national TV, by being on the ideological extremes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for our guest about his research and what it means? And do you have thoughts on the way we in the media, and you don't have to restrict yourself to TV here, portray Congress and partisan divides and the way members of Congress behave? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Joe is with us in Eau Claire. Joe, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question for the researcher about how he defined extreme views, extreme political views within Congress as it relates to the general public.
Joe, thanks for the call. And you touched a little bit about looking at the voting records of the members of Congress, Joshua, but let me throw into the mix, you know, if I'm saying I want to cut taxes to this radical level or raise taxes to this radical level, that's one thing. If I'm making extreme statements completely unrelated to my legislation, that might be another thing. Can you talk a little more to Joe's question?
Sure. And measuring ideology and extremity is always a tricky business. This DW nominate measure that political scientists commonly use at least has the advantage of relying on actual votes and not as much on statements. So presumably we would want the way that members of Congress are covered in the media to match their votes and to reflect the way that they vote. So while we don't actually look at the extremity of the statements themselves, we do look at sort of whether people are voting in extreme ways and how those people get represented. And it's clear that you know, maybe casting extreme votes or outlier votes is associated at the very least with more media coverage and may provide an incentive for politicians to do that.
Joe, thanks for calling in. Joshua, we're focusing on the media. Let's throw social media in. In a write-up you did on this, you talk about the role of social media as another factor that might reward extreme statements or extreme ideologies. How does that factor in?
Sure. So the social media allows politicians to bypass traditional media entirely. Obviously, they can make these statements on Twitter, on Facebook, and watch them sort of go viral or watch them gain attention. It's totally separate from the values of what makes something a good news story. And when a social media story goes viral, it's often happening in a national way, or at least it attracts national attention. It's just another technological change, another change in the media environment that has de-emphasized the local aspect of being a member of Congress and rewarded the sort of controversy, conflict, and extremity that national media and national audiences seem to crave.
Let's go to another caller now at 800-642-1234. Bruce is with us in Superior. Bruce, hi.
Hi. I'm just curious, when you mentioned you selected MSNBC, Fox, and one other station, does that bias your research at all? Because you're selecting for, well, Fox for sure is kind of an extreme, right-wing extreme, and MSNBC leans toward the right the left extreme, but maybe not quite as far extreme as obviously not extreme as Fox. But isn't that kind of biasing your study?
Interesting, Bruce. Thanks for the call. Each of those networks, I think, has a known somewhat partisan tilt. Joshua, did that tilt your findings, do you think?
So we were interested in how cable news covers politics, and that involves looking at the major networks on cable news that cover politics. We do have graphs in the paper that are all the cable networks combined, but we also present each one separated out. And it is instructive to see how each network does things differently. MSNBC features more liberals. Fox News features more conservatives. These are, you know, things we find in our study that maybe wouldn't surprise the caller. But it's important to understand not just that these networks are biased, but how they're biased in the people that they feature. And I'll note that we do also look at broadcast news, which is considered more objective and has been more objective throughout its history as a comparison for these networks. So, I mean, we're interested in national television news, and we would not really have a full sample if we weren't looking at the major partisan networks.
Thanks for that call. We're talking about a new study that shows that ideologically extreme politicians get more media attention, especially from nationwide TV, cable, and broadcast. Study co-author Joshua Dar stays with us, assistant professor of political communication at Louisiana State University. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think that the media, whether you're talking about TV or papers or radio, focuses too much on the partisan extremes and the conflict between the people on the edges of those extremes? Do we not focus enough on the middle ground and the getting done of normal stuff? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at the relationship between the news media and politicians and how more extreme political views tend to attract more coverage than moderate views. Our guest has studied this. He says this can create a misleading view of American government and politics. Joshua Dar is an assistant professor of political communication at Louisiana State University. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions. Let's go back to your calls now. Susan is with us in Wauwatosa. Susan, hi.
Hi there. I wanted to say that there are people that I can't any longer talk about politics with. I was talking with one of my sons, and he was going off on something, and I said, honey, we have to stop. You get your information from one place, I get mine from another. Our facts are never going to match. And he said, oh, Mom, I'll send you a link. And I went, oh, no, please. I don't want your algorithms on my phone, because then I'll get your stuff. And I think I go to reliable sources to get my information. And, you know, back in the day, it was fun to talk politics with people with different views. And we would always come out of it going, oh, maybe you're right on that, and maybe I'm right on this. But it's different now.
Susan, thanks a lot for that call. And Joshua, this is a little beyond the scope of your study here, but the news outlets you studied are ones that theoretically people from across the political spectrum might watch. As Susan points out, there's a lot of media sources out there that are in many ways pulling us even further apart. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I'd agree with that. And I think Susan's problem is far too common. I think politics is more contentious, and the parties are further apart than they used to be. I don't want to say that's all media's fault, but we certainly don't need any exaggeration of that, especially from sort of these agreed upon more mainstream sources. I think that there's, to the extent that what we observe in television news it rewards extremism, there's definitely places on the internet where that's even more true and where that garners even more attention. And these internet outlets, again, have the same issue of a national audience. And so with a national audience, there's just a totally different set of values of what sort of politician behavior gets rewarded than with a local audience. And we don't look at the internet in this study, but it is absolutely another driver of this, another technological change that's driving us apart.
Thanks for the call, Susan. We'll go to Ron next in Crandon. Ron, hello.
Hi, guys. Very interesting show. Hey, I was wondering if maybe some of the more centrist politicians are becoming maybe unjustly afraid to appear just because of the extremism of their constituents or their own parties, and that maybe one thing is artificially feeding the other thing. I know that even WPR has a hard time. They used to have very balanced panels of one side and the other, and they keep saying that they have a hard time finding people that'll appear, that'll even talk to one another.
Thanks for the call, Ron. That's not always true, I should say. We often have bipartisan groups of people on. But Joshua, that thought that if I'm a moderate in either party, maybe I'm keeping my head down a little more to not expose myself to criticism from the further right or further left, depending on which party. What do you think?
I think it's possible. I think if you sit more in the middle, there's always the chance that you'll get criticized from both sides instead of just one. And I think that strategic politicians definitely think about that. I mean, it's not that they don't have communications strategies. They just may have different ones. I'm thinking of, you know, Mitt Romney just released a long critique of the Biden stimulus plan in the Wall Street Journal's opinion page. So maybe he's not going on TV to talk about it. He needs a venue that maybe would let him talk in more detail about policy for things. So they may be picking their spots more strategically in terms of what outlets they want to talk to. But they also, I think the caller may be right. They don't want to get criticized from both sides.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Tom now in Ellsworth. Tom, hi.
Hi. Yeah, my question is a little bit more on about Congress and the fact that the Ethics Committee is, they self-regulate each other. And is the high volume of hyperpartisan comments and statements is because the ethics isn't stepping up.
Tom, thanks for the call. I don't know if these are exactly fit into the Ethics Commission's purviews in Congress, but Joshua, the thought that in some way Congress could police itself from at least the more extreme statements by its members. Is there any thought that that could actually happen?
So I'll try to answer that by talking just about the committee system in general, which used to be the way forward. It used to be the way that members of Congress would advance. And maybe ethics is a prime spot if there's a lot of investigations going on. You know, Congress at some level is the first branch of government. So it's tough for them to not have to regulate themselves on that score. We're not really talking about unethical content, right. however, as much as we're talking about extremism. And so actually the institution that matters is party more than the Ethics Committee. If the Republican Party decides that somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene is too extreme, they have some incentive to bring her back in and to try to make her seem less, you know, try to not have the party brand be too associated with her, and vice versa for any Democratic members that might be too extreme. So parties need to step up perhaps more than committees in order to try to limit some of the exposure of extremists on their side.
Thanks a lot for that call. I want to spend a couple minutes, Joshua, before we run out of time, talking about the impact this has on governance and how the kind of things you're talking about in your research might interfere with the ability of parties to compromise if there's this incentive to pull further away from the other party in order to get those TV news hits.
No, that's exactly right. And polarization is very it's very detrimental to politicians' ability to compromise. If the goal is to get something out that will attract attention in your local community, if it's to, you know, I'll help your community and you'll help mine. I will note that the fact that earmarks seem to be coming back is not irrelevant to this. Our study happened during a time without earmarks for the most part. But if members of Congress are focusing on passing bills as the best way to attract attention versus, you know, staking out ideological polls that are far apart from each other because they're creating conflict, you're going to end up with not only different media coverage, but different outcomes of policies that actually affect people's lives. And a lot of those negotiations do happen behind closed doors in committees, for better or for worse. But the old system did seem to get more effective legislation passed, whereas the rewarding system of national media seems to be maybe less effective for that.
All right. So if I guess any media person, me, ask you, what would you like to see from coverage to help overcome this polarization? In 30 seconds or so, what would you tell us?
Well, I'd say that we need to focus on members of Congress as representatives of real local communities more, even in national media. I would love to see more local reporters on to talk about what they're talking about and not just treating them as avatars of their own party, but talking about, you know, how does this affect their constituents? What are the local parts of this that matter? And of course, doing whatever we can to support local news, which, you know, whether you read it or not, you want it to be strong because it's holding your politicians to account and it's watching what they're doing for your communities. And that's a really valuable service.
Joshua, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Joshua Darr is an assistant professor of political communication at Louisiana State University. He talked to us about his research showing that ideologically extreme politicians, members of Congress for the most part, get more TV airtime than those who are more moderate, and what that means for our politics and the way things get passed in Congress.